You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott in the studio. It's Hamilton, Leicester and Chepstow on Thursday afternoon. Doncaster and Epsom will provide the action in the evening, and there's a good card over in Leopardstown in Ireland as well. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to some of the action is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
I'm very well indeed.
Good.
Good. Let's start this podcast, as we usually do, with a bit of news. Then we'll move on to Thursday's racing. Stephen's got four races for us. We'll start with a quick look back at some of Wednesday's action. The Grand Prix de Paris was the big race in Longchamp. Mm. It was won by Erupt. And just looking at the ARC betting to see what the effect was, Erupt is now 14-1 in that market. Can you see him playing a hand in the big one at the end of the season?
Well, I mean, I suppose the short answer is yes, if you take the form literally from Longchamp on Wednesday. I mean, mainly because obviously he's defeated Storm the Stars, who, you know, he's sort of turning himself into the benchmark in these sorts of races and finishing in third place. He was 3 1/4 lengths behind Erupt and Empire, who was in second position. He showed a very nice turn of foot. He won it pretty readily as well. And you know, he's going to have a leading chance come the race itself, which is what, on the 4th of October. I think 14-1's a fair price. In the terms of, would you rather back him or Free Eagle at 12s? I'd rather back Free Eagle, I think. And if you'd rather back him or Dol Nair at 16s, possibly rather back Dol Nair, I think. But obviously, I think the problem is Storm the Stars was having his seventh race of the season. And I personally don't think that he ran to the same level that he did at Epsom and the Curragh. It's just, I mean, I've got no real sort of scientific backing, but I just think that he kept on well, but I just don't think he sort of ran the last couple of furlongs with the same sort of gusto that he did in those two derbies, and just sort of plugged on because he's a trier and you know, and he is a good horse. But I don't think that form was as good as what he showed previously. And so I'm a little bit dubious, especially as well with French race with small fields. They don't go that quick as well. It's hard to know. And to be honest, the Grand Prix de Paris hasn't got a great record in producing ARC winners as well. I think Rail Link was the last one in 2006. And I mean, let's face it, in the long list of ARC winners, Rail Link's nowhere near the top, is he? So I wouldn't back him personally at this stage. And on what he's shown so far, he would need to improve again to win.
Who would you back at this stage? Who do you think will win?
Well,
might be two different questions.
Well, they are, yeah. I think that is the two different questions, you're right. Who do I think will win? I think Jack Hobbs might win.
Okay.
Because I think with a bit of cut in the ground, I think he's just going to keep getting better as the year goes on. I think he might catch up with Golden Horn. And at 7-2, 8-1, I'd be happy to side with him if there was a little bit of cut in the ground. But again, chances are, the time of year in Paris, there will be.
Yeah, it usually is, isn't it?
Yeah, so, and I don't think that would entirely suit Golden Horn. I think Jack Hobbs would deal with it better, and I think he will progress as the year goes on. And I'm not saying Golden Horn won't, but I think he might do it at a quicker rate of knots. So 8-1, Jack Hobbs and New Bay, I think a fair. Jack Hobbs probably the choice. I do think Free Eagle's quite a good price at 12-1 as well. I mean, he's 12-1 where Snow Sky is 10s. And I mean, that for me is a no-brainer. Free Eagle every day of the week. So, I mean, Snow Sky does seem to have improved this year. But I mean, he really got the benefit of the runner task at last time out at, in the Hardwick. And I mean, the Yorkshire Cup wasn't the best renewal of that race I've ever seen. I mean, he beat Brian Panther, who's a good solid yardstick, but I mean, if you're not beating Brown Panther, then you're only a Group 2 horse, really, aren't you? You're Group 3. So, so yeah, if you gave me a 10 and a mark, I think I'd have it on Jack Hobbs.
All right. Jack Hobbs in the arc. You mentioned Golden Horn in passing in there. The next time we'll see him looks like it'll be Ascot and the King George. And apparently the green light, they're all go for that race.
Yeah, providing conditions are suitable and don't have a deluge next week, they're keen to go for it. To be honest, looking at the betting we've got on the William Hill side at the moment and the opposition that's likely to turn up, he should win, really. He's, 4-6? Snow Sky, we just mentioned. Again, you know, solid horse, but he got the run of the race in the Hardwick. I mean, I thought Telescope was disappointing in the Hardwick, but, you know, I forgave him his run at Newmarket first time out because I thought, Ryan probably went slightly too soon. And it was his first run of the season. And I thought that was borne out by the fact that he bolted up next time in what was a good race for the grade at Newbury. But he just didn't run at all very well there. Eagle Top doesn't really excite me, and neither does Postpone particularly, to be honest. Flincher 8-1, I think on a more conventional track might not run a bad race if the ground's quick, which is key to him. But really, Golden Horn, I mean, to be honest, even if he underperformed on what he showed at Sandown, I think he'd win, because I think the Great Gatsby would win if he ran in this race. So yeah, providing obviously, you know, they run him and the horses that we see there on the site turn up, or I presume not all of them will, he's going to win.
Right, anything else got you around the news, Stevie boy?
Well, we were talking about the Flat Jockeys Championship. I mean, Richard Hughes was quoted the other day as saying, if there's sales on the same day as races, I'll be at the sales. And so obviously that's going to lessen his chances of riding a few Medi winners. We're still sort of waiting to find out how long Ryan Moore's going to be out for. Sylvester's not really saying anything, to be honest, about whether he's going to want to win or not. But he is actually six clear of James Doyle, Paul Hannigan, William Buick, Richard Hughes. The thing is, obviously, with Godolphin, they're going to have more runners as the year goes on, because they tend to have sort of a few in the spring and the summer, and as the year goes on, they have more and more and more. So, you know, and obviously Charlie Apple's going to have loads of two-year-olds. Simon Sorrell's going to have loads of two-year-olds. So it wouldn't surprise me if him and James Doyle both made sort of steady progress up. And the same for Paul Hannigan. He's kind of first dibs on a lot of Hamdan horses as well. But what I would say is I don't envisage the top six now changing too much. The order of those six might change, but I think the six might be the same come the end of the season. Moore, D'Souza, Doyle, Hannigan, Hughes, Buick.
Buick's the only one that's really come out and said he wants to try and win it if he's in contention.
Yeah, but I think they'd all do that, wouldn't they? I think if any... I'm not sure. Yeah, well... Okay, maybe not...
Ryan Moore doesn't care about it. Richard Hughes has got his eye on training.
Yeah, okay. But I think Doyle, D'Souza and Hannigan would all try and win it if they had a chance. If the four of them have got three, you know, say five between them with 2 weeks to go, I think they'd all try and win it from that point.
Yeah, I did mention to Rory yesterday when we did this, Hannigan at sevens might not be too bad of a shout. He's six behind SDS at the moment?
Yeah.
He's going to get better rides than Sylvester.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get more towards the back end of the season. He's going to have the pick of Richard Fahey's if he wants them, if he needs them. He's going
to
have...
Yeah, you can imagine the last 3 weeks or so, if he's in contention, Fahey will go out of his way to put him up on some, wouldn't he? I mean, D'Souza's 49, Doyle, Hannigan, Hughes, 43, Buick, 42. And then there's a gap of four back to Graham Lee. I don't envisage that top six changing too much in terms of who they are, but the order they're in may change a little. If I was going to choose one now, I'd probably go for Hannigan. I think that's a good shout by you, Mark.
Good. I got something. Maybe got something right once.
Yeah. Even a broken clock is right by today, Mark.
Thanks. Positive news for the attendances as well. Just reading about that this morning. AP McCoy's retirement has kind of been given credit for part of that.
Yeah, right.
Three million racegoers, apparently.
Yeah, it rightly so as well. Been some really good crowds. I mean, I was at the July meeting last week, and the 3 days drew more people than they have in the last 26 years combined. So that was good news. Long may it continue. More the merrier, Mark.
Indeed. Anything else you want to chat about, or shall we move on to Thursday?
We'll have a look at Thursday's racing.
I think we should. Right, we'll get Stephen's thoughts in four races next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at four races. The meetings at Chepstow, Doncaster and Epsom coming under the microscope here. The 3 o'clock at Chepstow is where we start. This is a class four handicap over six furlongs. It's for 3 year-olds and older. A decent field here, Stephen. We've got 13 of them, which makes it nice and competitive. Who would you side with in there?
Yeah, it's quite a tricky affair. We've got a bit of a mixed bag here, Mark, in terms of horses who are very solid in this sort of grade, and then two or three down the bottom who are, you know, really classic horses, I think, to be honest, and just scraping in down at the bottom. Rigoletto, Still Rain. I mean, Bonjour Steve's won a couple of races this season, including here, but this is different to what he's been running in so far. And so I think he's maybe worth focusing on the top half of the weights. Cool Bahamian has been run very well off this sort of mark for most of the season. I mean, even when he was eighth at Lingfield back in April, which was arguably his worst run, he was only beaten 4.5 lengths. Just touched off at Nottingham last time out. The one concern would be the fact that, you know, he's been on the go a while, but he does seem to be taking it fairly well. He's run well here at Chepstow before, trips fine, and he gets into a 0-80, which is the same grade he ran in at Nottingham last time. Visor for the first time as well, in an effort to maybe just eke out more improvement. All sits pretty well, to be honest. Street Force has got a terrible record on turf. Midnight Ride has really gone off the ball a little bit since he won at Windsor, for all that the race at Ascot last time was probably far too much for him. Light from Mars, he's getting a little bit long in the tooth. Generalised, he's been off for too long. And I think the other one to focus on, really, the other two, I'll say, is Angel's Wings, who's only a three-year-old and has only had six starts. Won a Wolverhampton Maiden last year. Was, you know, out of her depth in a Doncaster nursery at the Ledger meeting. Didn't run too badly in April at Wolverhampton, at a time when the yard actually weren't in very good form, behind Mambo Paradise. And she was only fourth of five at Goodwood last time, but I think that extra furlong might have stretched her a little bit. And I think if you get a good gallop to aim at here over six, it could help her. Well, Secret Witness, 9 years of age now, he's absolutely thrown in on his best form. I mean, when he was running off 100 and placed off 98 at Doncaster less than 2 years ago, and I know he's getting on a bit, but he made a step back in the right direction over course and distance last time. For all, again, that was a slightly easier race, but I'd expect him to go well, but I think he'd struggle to beat Angel's Wings and Cool Bahamian, who would be the two, and I'll side with Angel's Wings. I'm always a bit of a sucker, really, for three-year-olds against older rivals, especially in a race like this where a lot of them are exposed and, you know, middle-of-the-road sort of handicappers, and we know a lot about them, where Angel's Wings, I don't think we know all about her yet.
Angel's Wings for Stephen, then, in the 3 o'clock at Chepstow. Moving to Doncaster next for their 7:35. This one is a Class 3 classified stakes over seven furlongs. We've got a field of seven here, Stephen. Not too many of them arriving in good form, but King Taurus and Suville did win last time out.
They did, yeah. King Taurus won here at Doncaster in a claimer by a head, beating Don't Call Me. And that was a welcome return to form for him, having been in and out, shall we say, before then. But he was struggling to win handicaps off this sort of mark, and above it as well. I mean, he did win off 90 over this course and distance last year, when he actually won this race, incidentally, for Ruth Carr. And I've no doubt that the O'Meara team could probably, or O'Meara team, could get him back to that level of form. But coming off the back of a claim, I mean, he was last at Redcar the time before. I'm a bit wary. And of the O'Meara pair, I actually prefer Flyman, who's at the mount of Graham Gibbons. Now, he was trained previously by Richard Farhe. He can test a lot of big handicaps, including when he was third here of 21 in October of 13, and he won a field of 18 off a mark of 90 in March of last year. After that, he went up £8, even though he won by three parts of length. It was a bit harsh. Struggled in some big races like the Stewards' Cup, the Great St Wilfrid, etc. But his three runs this year for David O'Meara, for me, have shown gradual progression, and he didn't run too badly when beaten 2.5 lengths here last time behind Cagnari. He's never won over this trip, which is of a slight concern, but he's always shaped as though it should be within range. And if they don't go very fast here, which I don't think they will, he might be able to quicken up in the closing stages. And I think I prefer him out of the O'Meara pair. Suville, the other one, the yard of Chris Wall have been having a good few weeks, and she's shown steady improvement as well to win at Windsor last time out. She won readily, she won comfortably. Again, she's got an extra furlong to cover here. And I kind of think their hand has been forced a little bit by the fact the handicap has put her up £6, and there aren't that many races, mainly against her own sex or over seven furlongs, where it's going to be as competitive as this, in terms of generally there'll be a big field and more competitive. She should stay, though. She's by Dalakani, obviously, was a 1.5-mile horse. Dan Hill, best known for his sprinting as a sire himself, but get lots of horses who stay a mile. I mean, he was third in the Guineas as well, so I don't think she'll have any problem in staying. And he's between her and Flyman, I think, really, for me. Suville's going up, Flyman's coming down, but because Flyman's with a yard that I think probably haven't pushed the button with him yet, and he's what considerably lower than he was this time last year, I think I'll side with him because he's been there and done it.
All right. Flyman for Stephen then in that one. The 8-20 at Epsom is where we go next. This is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 8 here, Stephen. We'll start with Liberty Jack, who bounced back to form over this course and distance last time. Obviously, a positive at Epsom.
Yeah, indeed it is. And he's ran well here before as well, has Liberty Jack. And he won it pretty well. I mean, he was held up, made good progress and stayed on well down the outside to win going away. Obviously, he's gone back up in the weight. It's only £3, though, for that victory. I mean, to be fair, his run before that at Ascot, I think, is easy to forgive. He was well beaten, but he was a competitive race. And the fact he was off for nearly 2 months after that suggests that maybe everything wasn't right when he came back. But his form before that, 9th to Divine, who ran a really good race in a Group 3 at York last week, and 7th behind Watchable at the Curragh. And he'd beaten a nose off this mark in a better race than this at Fosslass last year. Suggests that this is well in reach. Richard Hughes rides, and I think he's going to go very well. And I think for me, it'll be a straight match between him and Denzel Lane. Denzel Lane improved to win at Newmarket and then followed up at Beverley shortly afterwards. Now, I thought he was a bit lucky to win at Newmarket. I was there that day because he got the run of the race. The win at Beverley proved it was no fluke. The horse he beat at Beverley, Hull Colt, won at Beverley yesterday, so which has boosted the form. And he was only beaten on the bob at Chepstow, for which he actually races off £1 lower at Epsom because of the vagrancies of the handicap system last time. So if he chases the pace set by Dr. Red Eye and gets first run on Liberty Jack, I think it'll be hard for him to catch. But if that doesn't transpire, I think Liberty Jack's got a good chance of getting near him. But I'm going to side with Denzel Lane because I think that's what might happen, is that Dr. Red Eye is going to go off really quick. Denzel Lane will go behind him. And when Dr. Red Eye starts to capitulate, he'll kick on. And unless Liberty Jack's already on the move, it's going to be hard to reel him in, I think. So on that basis, I'll side with Denzel Lane, but definitely one of those two.
The final race we look at is back at Doncaster. This is the 8:40. We finish with a class 4 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for 4-year-olds and older, a field of 7 here, Stephen. Who do you side with there?
Well, down to two again, Mark, really, here for me. The David O'Mara trained Nonchalant, who's only won one race, which was first time out at Cork last year, and ran in Ireland throughout last year, and joined David O'Mara for this campaign. And he's had 7 runs for David O'Mara. The first 6 were average. I mean, he was only beaten 5 lengths by Marsoub at York in May, but otherwise it didn't, you know, look very good for him until he ran here last week over 12 furlongs when he was only beaten a length and a half by Triple Dip. And I think it was just stretched a little bit over the last furlong or so, and beaten by a horse that saw it out better. Dropping back in trip, I think he's going to go very well over 10 furlongs. And Red Warrior as well, good to firm ground over 10 furlongs, seems to suit him very well. And he's got form that closely matches him with Nonchalant through Kanema. He was 5 3/4 lengths behind Kanema at Newcastle in May, and Nonchalant was just behind 6 lengths behind Kanema in the Cumberland Plate a couple of weeks ago at Carlisle. Nonchalant, I mean, he's been racing a lot. I mean, he ran on the 8th of June, 24th of June, 5th of July, 9th of July. So this is going to be his 5th run in a month or 6 weeks, where Red Warrior's only had the 4 starts. So I'm torn, really, to be honest, between the two. But I think, again, the O'Mara yard may just be finding their feet now with Nonchalant. He's come down £12 in the handicap since he joined David O'Mara, and he races off the same mark as he did when runner-up last week. So I think they're going again quickly, and it could be the night for him. And I think he'll beat Red Warrior.
Good. Let's have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Yeah, tricky racing on Thursday, Mark. At Chepstow in the 3 o'clock, we're going with the improving and unexposed 3-year-old Angel's Wings. In the 7:35, Flyman for the David O'Mara yard. We go to Epsom at 8:20, Denzel Lane, who's much improved in recent starts and beaten horses that have won subsequently. And in the 8:40 at Doncaster, an O'Mara double, hopefully with Nonchalant.
Good work. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark. Will do.
So there you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50pm. Gareth Topham, Craig Forsyth and Chris Pimlott will be the team in the studio. It's Hamilton, Leicester and Chepstow on Thursday afternoon. Doncaster and Epsom provide the action in the evening. And we'll take the card from Leopardstown as well. A good card to look forward to there as well. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.